Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, if you will. Good to see you tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Always great to assemble with other believers and appreciate the two messages I've heard already. I don't remember any of the verses they use, so I just have to plead the fifth. I'm going to use the ones I've got written down. That's the ones I'm going to use and the ones I can recall. Any of y'all ever seen anything like that before?
No.
Might recognize that. I went ahead and put that up there because I can't hardly talk and write at the same time. But I'm going to talk to you about some things tonight in relation to edification and being established in the Word. And about the confusion that exists in religion. Percy's talking about some of that stuff over at that church. And I'll tell you, folks, when you start talking to people in the religious system, it is just absolutely amazing the level of confusion and misunderstanding there is when people fail to rightly divide the Word of truth.
Amen.
And that's why it's so important that we preach the truth and we try to make it known. In Ephesians chapter 3, chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he had kept captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now notice, "for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And the reason that that is not taking place as God designed it to is because there are people that are not doing what God told them to do. They're more concerned with building buildings and systems and drawing crowds than they are teaching people the truth of the Word right and divided. And the edification process is not taking place.
Amen.
Thus you end up with people in confusion. Why don't you go back to Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul, as he closes out the chapter here, in verse 25, he says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." Now, I've heard that read a couple of different ways, and I used to read it differently myself, but I believe that the verse is written such that it says there's three ways whereby we're established. He said, in other words, I used to read the verse like this, where it says in verse 26, "but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets." But if you read it that way, you leave out the word "and." You see, he says, "to him there's a power to establish you," and then he starts a list, "according to my gospel, comma, and," number two, "the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest," comma, three, "and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." So I believe that there's three ways whereby a person is established. Number one, what does Paul say? My gospel. And then the preaching of Jesus Christ according to what? The revelation of the mystery. And the scriptures of the prophets. Now, if you read that like I read it a moment ago, that's fine. But this is what I believe that the verse says. And I believe it's very important. And this is what we're going to talk about the two times that I speak here. And tonight, I want us to look primarily at the first thing, because there's a reason, the verse that Brother Percy read a moment ago or quoted, that Paul said, "It is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth."
Yes.
You're wasting your time trying to teach people the truth if they're not saved.
Amen.
And so God Almighty set out an order. And Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. He didn't say, I'm not ashamed of a gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And those Bibles that Percy was talking about, most of them in Romans 1:16, leave out the two words of Christ. And say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. Well, folks, there's more than one gospel in your Bible. And the Bible says in back in Matthew 24, that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Paul identifies the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 when he says, it's how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. And that gospel is the power of God to salvation. And Paul said, it is my gospel. And people need to know and understand Paul's gospel. Why? Because nobody today in 2013, the year of our Lord, is going to get saved by any other gospel than what Paul preached.
Amen.
You're not going to get people saved today by preaching out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Amen.
You might get them under bondage. You might get them under conviction about how they live and so forth. But come on, folks. Paul said, it is by my gospel. Look back in Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, people want to present the idea that Paul was some kind of egomaniac and was just misled in calling the gospel his gospel. How many of you ever heard this fellow Jesse Duplantis on TV? Any of y'all ever heard Jesse?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's not much of a preacher, but he's a good comedian.
Yeah.
Well, Jesse, several years ago, said that he was in a motel, and he took a nap in the afternoon, and he was transported into heaven. I heard the program where he did this. Kenneth Copeland was sitting right on the platform with him. There was thousands of people out there, and people were applauding and everything else while Jesse Duplantis told about his tour of heaven. And he said that he went by, and Jesus showed him the mansion that was being built for him, said it had crown molding about that big.
Oh, wow.
And he said, I saw Abraham and talked with him, and said, I got down there, and he said, I ran up on the Apostle Paul. And he said, you know what? Old Paul's still up there calling it his gospel. That's what Jesse said. And there's people, I mean, here's the preacher up here. Hey, come on, folks. Paul called it his gospel because that gospel was never in existence until it was given to the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
And people need to know that gospel because there's coming a day when people are going to be judged, how? By that gospel. Not by your works. Your sins have been paid for. Your sin is not the issue. Your sin was taken care of 2,000 years ago. If you die and go to hell tonight, it's because of unbelief. Christ died for your sins. Paul said over to Thessalonians, he said, they're damned because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Well then, of him who is a power to establish you according to what? My gospel. Then you can't get people established or established until first of all, you preach unto them the gospel and they trust Jesus Christ their Savior. Folks, probably 99% of the people out there in the religious system today are lost.
Yes, amen.
And that's sad, but it's true. I mean, just listen to the testimony. Now, I want you to consider, go back to Matthew chapter 4, or Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And just notice what is preached. I mean, I didn't write these. Just notice, John the Baptist comes on the scene in Matthew chapter 3. And in verse 1, the Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was John preaching? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's not hard. Look over to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Look in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew 9, in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Look down in chapter 10. Jesus Christ called unto him his 12 disciples. He names them there in verse 2 and 3. And in verse 5, notice what he did. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Now come on, folks. When I was a boy, the picture that was painted to me and presented, and it probably was to you too, was that when Jesus Christ was on earth, the idea was that they were preaching the gospel and Paul just continued that which was being done previously. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. When he sent those 12 men out preaching that gospel of the kingdom, they're not preaching looking forward to the cross, as people say. People say, well, everybody back here was saved by looking forward to the cross, and we're saved by looking back to the cross. Really? Mm-mm. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yes. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Look over in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The question had been asked, whose men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look over in verse 18. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. That's not the church, the body of Christ. Don't get thrown off. I mean, people, you know, every time they see the word church, want to make it one group. There was a church in the Old Testament. It's simply a called-out group. There's a church at Jerusalem, and there's the church, which is his body, three separate entities. This is the church that he's going to build upon the profession of Peter. Thou art the Christ. Listen, that was the issue when Jesus Christ was on earth. Yes. Believing in the name of Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Had a man tell me one time, he bound me with a sin. He said, I bind you with that sin. I said, good luck. All of mine are forgiven. This man was charismatic, and he asked me what I thought about the speaking in tongues. Had I ever done that? And I said, no, I believe it's of the devil. He says, I bind you with that sin, attributing the work of God to the devil himself. And I said, you can't bind me with anything, brother. My sins were forgiven 2,000 years ago. He said, whatsoever you shall bind shall be bound. But notice, verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and rejoiced that he was going to die for his sins. No. He began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Well, pray tell, how in the world were they preaching the death, burial, and resurrection for forgiveness of sins from Matthew 10 to Matthew 16 when they didn't even know he was going to die?
I know.
No way it could have been. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news. That's what gospel is. It's good news. The king has come. But there had to be a delay, and that's why he told them not to tell any man that Jesus Christ knew he had to go there to that cross.
Yeah.
You find him over there in the garden praying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Peter was upset that he was going to die. He wasn't rejoicing in it. Look over in Matthew chapter 19. You know, sometimes I think Peter and these other disciples get a bad rap. I mean, just put yourself in their position. Here Peter is out there fishing one day, and the Lord says, come and follow me. He threw down his nets, quit his job, went and followed him. You know why? They believed he was the Messiah.
That's right.
They believed that he was the king.
Yeah.
They believed that they were going to sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it's like Jesus Christ says, there's something I forgot to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I got to die. You got to what? You're the king. No, I've got to die. No way. Be it far from it. We're not going to let this happen. So Christ explains it to him. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which shall follow me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Folks, he's going to come and beat them again, like Percy's talking about. He's going to return, and they're going to sit upon those 12 thrones.
Amen.
There is no way the 12 ever got into the body of Christ.
That's right.
They have a different inheritance, a different purpose, a different plan. The whole thing is different. Amen. And God is going to fulfill his promise, just like the promise to Abraham.
Amen.
He said, Abraham, you're going to have the land of your seed. There's going to be no end. And on and on it goes. God is going to fulfill all of those promises. He's not done with Israel. And this stuff about replacement theology, and you've replaced Israel, is just a bunch of bunk, folks. You're the church, the body of Christ, not Israel.
That's right.
And everybody wants to be Israel so they can get all the goodies associated with Israel. But when it comes to the curses, they don't want any of those.
That's right.
Well, for every blessing that was associated with the nation of Israel, there was also a curse for not doing those things.
That's right.
Thank God we're not under that program.
Amen.
We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and none of them are dependent upon our stinking rotten flesh.
Amen. That's right.
They're all in Christ.
Amen. Yes, we are.
And we're sealed into their redemption, and we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Now, I want you to notice just a few things. I think the way Percy put it a moment ago is the stuff that Jesus Christ put on them. I like that. Come on, folks. If you just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see how complex this thing of the kingdom message was. Why, in Matthew chapter 10, anytime you ever heard an evangelist, they use this to get people in an altar. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. I heard it many times. You better get down here. If you don't confess him, then what did they have to do? They had to confess him. Look over in.
Your mic went out.
Not my fault.
Just called out.
Battery must be dead.
We'll fix it.
Is anybody back there that can't hear me?
Yeah.
We're good.
I get more value.
We're good. All right. Look in Luke chapter 14. Well, I tell you, we won't turn there. Let me just read. Percy touched on this. So likewise, he read every verse I was going to read. Luke 14, 33. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Then there was forsaking all, wasn't there? Look over in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, behold, one came and said unto the good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Say, well, he wasn't ready. He was just putting him to the test. Really? He said, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no more murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. What happened then? He went away sorrowful, didn't he? You had to sell out. Sell what you have. I mean, these aren't things. You know, the religious system, when they lead these things, they want to make it look like that Jesus Christ was just mincing words. This is a serious situation. Amen. What must I do to have eternal life? Yeah. You think Jesus Christ isn't going to tell the man the truth? Sure. He said, keep the commandments. He said, I've kept them. He said, then go and sell that thou hast. There must have been a reason for that. Well, there was. It was to get into the kingdom. Look back in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus Christ is teaching them to pray. But the Lord's Prayer. We used to quote this every morning in school, and I don't guess they do that anymore. But I'll tell you, as long as they're giving tests, they'll never take prayer out of school. I used to pray, you know, stay up, wouldn't study, instead of go in there and sit down. I just pray, Lord, give me the answers. Never did. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Notice the if. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Then what they have to do? They had to forgive others. Getting tiresome, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, think about it. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Look in Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized. Well then, baptism must have been a requirement. Sure sounds like it, doesn't it? Look over in Acts chapter 2. We're talking about Paul's gospel versus the gospel of the kingdom back here. And come on, folks, this thing continued. Jesus Christ didn't spend 3 years and 40 days for those disciples just wasting time. He's teaching them what to do in his absence. They said, we'll die at this time, restore again the kingdom of Israel. He said, it's not to know, it's not for you to know the time of season. But he says, you'll be endued with power, and you'll start at Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. He begins preaching a murder indictment to the nation Israel. And the whole issue again is, or was, is Jesus Christ the Messiah? Acts 2:34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We've crucified our Messiah. What in the world are we going to do? What did he say? Repent. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, I'm going to run out of space down here for long. There's repentance. Acts 3:19, repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the time of refreshing shall come in the presence of the Lord. Bless your heart, my sins are already blotted out.
Amen. Yes,
they are. Already paid for. Acts 3:19. Let me just read a couple of verses. We'll have to take time to turn there. John 8:51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. So they had to keep his sayings. John 15:6, if a man not abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch. So they had to abide in Christ. Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So they had to endure. You just go on and on. Go over to Acts chapter 10. People say, well, Peter was really the one that went to the Gentiles first. Well, he went down there because he was summoned to go. And the Gentile he went to happened to be one that feared God and worked righteousness. And he went down there, he preached to him the same thing that John the Baptist had preached. Man sent me a paper years ago, and the paper was on trying to prove that Cornelius was in the body of Christ. He wrote, called me up and he said, have you read my paper? And I said, no. He said, are you going to? I said, probably not. I said, I will if you'll answer one question correctly. I'll read your paper. I said, can you show where Cornelius ever heard the gospel of Christ? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. He said, well, I'm sure that Peter would have preached the same thing to them according to what's said in some other verses. I said, no. I want you to show me in the scriptures where Cornelius ever heard the gospel Paul preached. He said, well, what's the big deal? I said, the big deal is that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, or verse 4, Paul said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as is now revealed in his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ. What's the last three words? By the gospel. I said, there's not anybody today in the body of Christ that got into the body of Christ apart from believing the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
I said, now show me where he ever heard it. Well, I'm sure he did. I said, well, go to Acts chapter 10. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. You don't know what Peter preached? I just read it to you.
Amen.
He preached the same thing they've been preaching. That's the only thing he knew to preach.
Amen.
The same gospel. That's what Cornelius believed, and Cornelius became a Gentile that feared God and worked righteousness and blessed Israel and became part of a little flock.
Yes.
On the basis of that.
Amen.
And why in the world people want to try to make Cornelius just twist the scriptures, right? Come on, folks. He said they're in the body by the gospel.
Amen.
What gospel? My gospel. To him it's power to establish you according to my gospel. Not the gospel John preached. Not the gospel Jesus preached. Not the gospel Peter and the 12 preached. The gospel Paul preached.
Amen.
Look in Galatians chapter 1. By the way, before we read in Galatians 1, several years ago, we ran ads in these little shopper papers that were there in Chattanooga. And we would put statements in there, and a man from our church ran some one time and without my approval. And he put in there, he said, you need to come visit Grace Bible Church, 3827 Dixon Pike, the only church in Chattanooga preaching the true gospel. I thought that wasn't what you wanted to put in there. So we got several calls from that. Of course, there's other churches preaching the gospel in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But this man called me, and he said, I saw your ad, and I take great exception to that. And immediately, he started talking about Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, and that kind of thing. So I knew exactly who I was dealing with. And so I asked him, I said, do you have your Bible there before you? And he said, yes, I do. I said, well, I want you to turn to two verses, if you will, and read them for me. And he said, okay. I said, I want you to turn to Acts 10, verse 35, and I want you to get Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And so he read, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. I said, now read Titus 3, 5. Paul said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us.
Amen.
You know what the man said? He said, the verses say the same thing.
Oh.
I said, then this discussion is over because we don't even believe words mean what they say. He said, well, no. He said, you got to let the Holy Spirit teach you what they say. No, I said, you got to believe what the words say written on the page.
Amen.
Come on, folks. Not by works of righteousness is not the same as working righteousness.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul said, but I certify you, brethren, to the gospel, which is preached to me, is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither have I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Another lie today that's taught in religion is that Paul simply carried out or continued the ministry started by Peter, James, and John, and that he just expanded on it. No, he didn't get the gospel from Peter, James, and John. He said, I certify you. I mean, come on, that's certification. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man. I neither received it to man, neither have I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He got it back there in Acts chapter 9. Amen. And God Almighty revealed himself to Paul and gave him, as preached on over the 1 Corinthians 9, the dispensation of the gospel, and gave Paul the gospel that Paul preached. Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried. He was raised again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, you know there's something interesting. You go through your Bible, and we've looked at the verses, so we won't turn there. But there's three times in your Bible that a specific question is asked in relation to salvation. One of them is Matthew 19, where we read there, and the man said, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus Christ said, keep the commandments. He said, I've done that. He said, then go and sell what you have. Second place is Acts 2, verse 36 and 37. Peter preached, you crucified. The one you crucified, he's raised again, made both Lord and Christ. And they were pricked in their heart, and they said, what must we do? Peter said, believe on the Lord. Or he said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 16, there's a Philippian jailer, and he goes in, and he is afraid for his life. And he said, what must I do to be saved? You know, amazingly, the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Mm-hmm. Folks, if somebody came busting through that door back here tonight, and they said, listen, I need to know how to be saved. Would you go over to Matthew chapter 19, tell them to keep the commandments?
No.
Would you go over to Acts 2:38 and tell them to repent and be baptized for remission of sins? Would you go over to Acts chapter 10 and say, in every nation he that feareth God worketh righteousness? No, you wouldn't do that. You'd say, I got some good news for you. The good news is Christ died for your sins.
Amen.
The good news is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing your trespasses.
Amen.
The good news is that he has forgiven you all trespasses.
Amen.
Come on, folks. I preached for 6 or 7 years as a lost person. Thank God in 1972 I moved to Chattanooga. And Brother Frank Lowry was pastoring Rivermont Baptist Church at that time. And I began to attend there. And as I began to read and study the Bible, I began to see some things and talking to Frank so forth about rightly dividing the word of truth. About a year later, I guess it was, maybe two, Brother E.C. Moore was there for a Bible conference. and he was preaching. We had a real wild conference that year. It was the last one we ever had there as far as a Baptist church. But Brother Moore was preaching there. And I asked Brother Moore, I said, can I talk to you after the service? And he said, yes. And so we went back there, right through that left door, as you go back by the pulpit. And I went back here and I said, Brother Moore, I'm not sure I'm saved. He looked at me and he said, well, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Brother, you preached the gospel this morning. I heard you preach the gospel. He said, you either have trusted Christ or you haven't, one or the other. And I said, well, I'm sure I have. I mean, after all, I would pray and the Lord would answer my prayer. I had to be a Christian. It was about 3 or 4 weeks later, Brother Frank Lowry on Sunday night was preaching from Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 through 13, you're complete in Christ.
Yes.
And it dawned on me that night that all the struggling and all the wondering I'd been doing was foolishness. I kept thinking, I kept going back to when I was 12 years old and I walked down that aisle. A week later, got baptized. At 18, I surrendered to preach up there in Birmingham, Alabama. I mean, after all, our preacher drove a Lincoln Continental, lived in a four-bedroom brick house and played golf twice a week. I surrendered to that call. That's what I want to be.
That's what I want to be.
I want to be a preacher. I want to be a preacher just like him.
Amen.
So I started preaching. I preached youth revivals. I was taught how to tell the story at the end to get the people to walk down front. We were trained in that. But I was lost. And the first time I remember hearing a clear presentation of the gospel, I'd just gone, it was Brother Frank Lowry and then Brother E.C. Moore. Right after that, we had a Bible camp up there on Mowbray Mountain. And Brother Moore read 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, and he said, now, how much more simple could it be than that? But I still struggled with it because my flesh wanted to believe that there was something I needed to do. That night, I understood really what it meant that Christ died for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I junked all that other stuff, and I trusted in what he did. Mm-hmm. And the Lord saved me that night. Yeah. That's how simple it is, folks. You see, isn't it obvious how much confusion results when you start trying to get saved back here? Aren't you glad that Paul said, now to him that's the power to establish you according to my gospel.
Amen.
Yes.
How simple it is. You can't find one place in Paul's epistle where he ever tells you to do anything to be saved.
Amen.
Other than trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. He instructs us about some things we ought to do after we're saved.
That's right.
But none of those have anything to do with getting saved.
That's right.
It's all about trusting in whom you also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation is not back here. The gospel of your salvation is not over here in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, or 10. The gospel of your salvation is right over here, given to and through our apostle, the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
We don't exalt the man. We exalt the office.
Amen.
And the ministry and the message. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul never followed Jesus Christ according to the flesh. He followed the revelation given to him.
That's right.
And it's that information that will establish you. If you have never been saved, you never trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you might know a lot of Bible. You might know a lot of verses. I mean, a lost man can understand many truths out of Scripture. But he'll never be established in the truth of this present age until first he's trusted in the gospel of our salvation. And then tomorrow we'll talk about what it means to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery. Because that's of utmost importance, folks. And he's not being preached today according to revelation of mystery. He's being preached according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's up and told the future. If you never trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, it's simple. Just quit trying. Quit trying and just trust what he did at Calvary. You don't have to get up and go anywhere. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to pray a prayer. If you want to pray a prayer, pray. But all you got to do is in your heart and mind and soul, just simply surrender your will to Him and trust in what He did.
Amen.
He'll save you right this moment for Christ's sake. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you tonight for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for sending us the apostle with a message of our salvation and for this glorious grace that we find in your word. We thank you for all that we have in you, and we pray that you'd help us to be faithful to share it with others till you come again, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.